All right, so a couple things I want to share before I get into the message. Just this week, for those you guys that went to North Carolina and people that have been interested in that, just this week I saw, you may have seen it on Facebook this past week, they found a van with five people in it. They found it because they followed the bear tracks. So there's just a lot of stuff still going on down there. So don't quit praying. Another thing that I want to share, I don't know how many of you have are aware of this book that Ananias House just put out, The Victor's Crown of Glory. You want to read this book. You really do. I know almost all of the people in the book personally, have met or acquaintance with them. Beautiful stories of how God has given them grace and boldness in horrible situations. And even till today. So I have two of these books here I'm willing to loan out. I've given Rachel two of them to put into the library. And as soon as she gets those in there, they'll be available. But if you'd like to take one of these books today, let me know afterwards. First come, first serve. One more thing. And this is about the Sunday school lesson. There's a principle in our Sunday school lesson that is very important. One of the things, and I don't know where I picked this up, but I picked up this thought that one of the problems with God using us is God using us. Because when God uses us, we tend to start thinking that it's about us. And so Jesus tells the disciples to go and cast out devils. And they come back and they say, Jesus, the devils were subject to us. And Jesus says, no. Don't be all happy about what you just did. Be happy about what I did, what I'm doing. There's a principle here, and that is we need to focus on what Jesus has done for us. Because as soon as we start looking at what we've done for Him, we're headed in the wrong direction. And that fits so well with my message this morning about faithful. This is something that's been on my mind for a good while. And I'm happy to be able to share that this morning with you. I told my children this morning, I wonder, I'll have to do some digging and looking. There's the possibility of six times prior to today that I could have shared on my birthday. And I don't know how many times that actually happened, but I might do some digging and look that up. When we talk about being faithful, we're basically talking about trust and trustworthiness. So when we say God is faithful, we are talking about the fact that we can trust Him. And when we talk about us being faithful, that's basically what we're talking about in relation to us. That we can be trusted. And so Jesus trusted His disciples. Was it because they were so well schooled and they had done so very well and they were at this just ultimate level of spiritual maturity? No, wasn't that at all. He trusted them because He had entrusted them. He had given them something and He trusted them to take what He had given and use it the way He intended. And the same thing applies to us today. This is so important. I often hear people praying, God, help us to be faithful, something along those lines. And I'm not criticizing that prayer at all. Don't misunderstand me. It's a worthy prayer. But what I want us to think about this morning is, what does that mean? You know, one of the things that happens with us in our Christianity is we start making lists. And we start checking them off. And a lot of times our lists and God's list are not the same. So we have our list and we start checking it off and we're feeling really good about ourselves. We're spiritual. We have accomplished. We have done. And God's looking at His list and He's saying, oh, man, I trusted them with this, and they don't even think about it. It's not even on their list. They're not even talking about this. It's nothing that's happening with them. So I want us to think this morning about this whole thing, and I want us to remember. What's going on here? Got disconnected there somehow. Yeah, back up. There we go. Try it again. So why then is faithfulness, being faithful, why is that so important? Why is it something that we need to think about and consider today? And then along with that, to whom or what should I be faithful? And there's not one answer to this, but it's something that we need to think about. So, and along with that then, in our lives, practically, what does being faithful look like? And the Bible actually talks quite a bit about this, so there's some really good things for us to think about, some answers for us to look at. And here's the important part. Who ultimately determines faithfulness? Is it Lynn's job as our pastor to decide who's faithful and who's not? Is it Chad's job as our head elder to determine who's faithful and who's not? Is it my job to look around me and decide if someone else is faithful or not? Ultimately, we have an audience of one. We need to have an audience of one. And that is, when we stand before God Almighty, we are not going to answer for anyone else. And no one else is going to answer for us. We are going to answer for ourselves to God. Period. And so, when we're talking about this whole idea of being faithful, we're thinking about this truth. I need to know whether God thinks I'm faithful. Yeah, we help each other, that's important. But that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is, we are going to answer to God about being faithful for the things that He has entrusted to us. Now, first of all, faithfulness is based on God's character. So I appreciated that Jay led that song this morning, Great is Your Faithfulness. I love that song. That song is so meaningful and so beautiful and so deep in my heart. God's faithfulness is so great. He is totally trustworthy. It's because of His mercies that we're not consumed. And His faithfulness is so great, and that idea of greatness there just has the idea of exponential. It's just beyond. That's what His faithfulness is. And so when we start talking about this whole idea of faithful, we go back to God's character. And the way that we become faithful is by His character becoming our character. It's not by me deciding I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to, you know, just buck into it and make it happen. No. We have a choice, obviously. But it's not in our ability on our own to be faithful. It's only as His character, as His heart becomes our heart. Only as who He is becomes what we are. Said that backwards, I guess. Who we are becomes what He is. So, Deuteronomy, way back in Moses' writings, he says, know this about the faithful God. The God that keeps His covenant and His mercy to 1,000 generations. He keeps what He has promised. So the promise that He made to Abraham, will it be fulfilled or not? Absolutely. It will be fulfilled. Because why? Because God is a faithful God. He's trustworthy. We can trust every promise that He has made is true. It's alive, it's well, because He made it, and He's going to keep it. End of story. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. But God is faithful. Do you ever wonder what was the motivation? What was the thing that really gave Paul the ability to do what he did? He talks about God's love pushing him. But he also here to the Corinthian church, he reminds them that it's God's faithfulness that actually is what really moves us forward. God is faithful. He's entrusted to us, and He's given us a number of things, which we'll look at some of those. But the reality is that it all goes back to His faithfulness. He is faithful. You can depend on Him. And the hope that we have as Christians is that fact. God can be trusted. Totally trusted. Simple. We can trust Him. And when we trust Him, it makes us trustworthy as well. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. It's something that I'm processing more here lately. And that is the reality that when I face temptation, the faithfulness of God is where my strength is in my temptation. There has no temptation taken you. There's no temptation come your way. But common to man, it, people all over the world experience the temptation that you experience. But God is faithful. So when temptation comes to you, the reality that God is faithful and He will not allow you to face a temptation that you cannot overcome. That's pretty important, isn't it? That's pretty important. Because the enemy comes to us and he comes with these two things. You're weird. Nobody else has this problem, right? That's the first thing he tells us. Nobody else has this problem, so don't talk about it to anybody because then they'll see how weird you are. And the second thing that he does, the same thing that he did in the garden, he's still doing it, and that is, he says, God doesn't understand what you're facing. And Paul says, no, no. Wrong, wrong. You're not weird. The temptations you're facing are common. And I think most of us that have struggled with temptation, have put it out in front of people, all of a sudden we realize, oh, other people deal with this too. And the second thing we realize is that God has actually made a way through Christ that we can overcome temptation. Every temptation. Because of God's faithfulness, not because of my ability, but because of Him. That's how we can overcome. You see, if I try to resist temptation in my strength, and I stand up and I say, I am not going to do this thing, I'll guarantee you what's going to happen. You're going to do it. The harder you say, I'm not going to do this, I am not. You know why? Because you're focusing on the temptation. You're not focusing on God. I'm not going to do this. No. I will not do this thing because my God is faithful. That's what Joseph said, right? I can't do this because my God. That's what Daniel said. I can't do this because my God. That's what the three Hebrews said. I can't do this because my God is faithful. And He may not deliver me from the fire, but He's going to deliver me from you, O King. My God is faithful. That's so, so, so important. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, even if we don't believe, even if we don't trust Him, God remains trustworthy. He remains faithful. You and I can choose whether we're going to trust or not a trustworthy God. If we choose not to trust Him, we lose. Doesn't change Him at all. It doesn't change who He is. It doesn't change what He does. It doesn't change any of that. And then in Hebrews, we read that we have this merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. He is our high priest. We can trust Him. And one of the things that I've just recently recognized, and I don't know, I'm probably just way slow, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, I have over and over and over come to that verse in 16 where we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help and mercy to help in time of need. I love that passage. But only recently, my eyes opened up and I realized what he's talking about there is actually temptation. Because the verse before says we have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And now let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. It is, I'm thankful that God allows slow learners. Now, unfaithfulness leads to destruction. We could go back and we could look at all kinds of examples of this, but Proverbs says this: if you put your confidence in an unfaithful person in time of trouble, it's like two things: a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Which one would you rather have? The broken tooth or the foot out of joint? They both hurt bad. He says, that's the way a guy is, that you're counting on, that you're trusting, and he's not trustworthy. He's treacherous. Same word that's used there. He's unfaithful, he's treacherous or treacherously. And then Jesus comes along and he asks a very important question. And this is kind of starting to get into the practical stuff of this. Jesus says, if you have trusted somebody with a small amount of money and they have not been faithful in that, how can you trust them with true riches? So he's saying, if I can't give you this and have you be responsible with it and count on you to take care of it, how am I going to trust you with God's truth? You see, this whole thing of faithfulness starts at the bottom. We like this idea that God would trust us with this big ministry and this, that we could do miracles and all this kind of thing. But when he gives us a little bit of something and we waste it, we misuse it, we abuse it, whatever, we're telling God, actually, I'm not trustworthy, God. And so Jesus brings this principle in that, look, if you want to be trusted with more, be trusted with what you already have. Don't think that God's out there just wasting his stuff. So this is an important principle that Jesus gives. So when we're not faithful in little things, and he calls this unrighteous mammon, and what he's actually talking about is money, possessions. When you can't be trusted with a little bit of money, don't expect to be trusted with great spiritual things. Don't. It's a lesson. Now, faithfulness is a requirement. It's not optional. We are stewards. We have, and wait a minute. Whoa. Stop. I know already where you're going. The first thing we think about when we think about stewards is money. But there's a whole lot more. A whole lot more. Everything God has given you, he has given you to steward. Your time, your gifts, your abilities, your opportunities, your relationships, everything that you have, is something that God has placed in your lap for you to use for Him, for His glory, for His purpose, for His kingdom. And so when you give someone something in trust, you expect to receive accordingly. God does. And so Paul tells us it is required. It's required in stewards that a man is found faithful. So I don't, you ask God what that looks like in your life. I'm not here to tell you what all that looks like, but I am telling you, God has given us a lot. A lot. But let me just give a story just from a few weeks ago. A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, is in Aleppo, Syria, the place where the insurgents started in Syria a few weeks ago. He was on the phone with someone here in America as the insurgents were coming down his street. The guns were going off, all kinds of things were happening. He was scared. But you know what he said? He said, "Is it possible that God is bringing these rebels, these extremists, these terrorists into our town so that we can tell them about Jesus?" Others said, "No. We have the opportunity to leave. We are not leaving. It's harvest time. We've been praying for years and years and years that harvest time would come, that souls would be hungry for the gospel. And here they are, they're hungry for the gospel. We can't leave. We've been entrusted with something. We've been entrusted with harvest time." Oh, I think Jesus said that to all of us. But they said, "We're not leaving. It's harvest time. We've been trusted with it. We've been praying for it. It's happening. We're ready to put our lives on the line to carry out what we've been trusted with." Faithfulness is actually a heart posture. So Proverbs says, you know, keep your heart with all diligence, because that's where all the issues of life come out of. That's where it starts. That's where faithfulness starts, is down in the heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart posture. Do I bow before the Lord and commit to being faithful to what He gives me? Or am I all about my own ideas, my own plans, and my own things, and going to Him and saying, "God, can you bless what I'm bringing?" No. God, you've given me, and I am going to commit to being faithful. Proverbs also says, you know what? It's really hard to find somebody that's faithful. Everybody wants to talk about how good they're doing. You know, they've got that list that I talked about in the beginning. I've got this list. I've got it checked off. You know, kind of like Santa Claus. Got that list. I'm checking it twice. You know. But it's really difficult to find someone that's actually getting the list checked off that matters. Not our own list, the list that God puts out there. Jesus told a story about two sons there in Matthew chapter 21. The father said to his sons, "I want you to go and I want you to do the work." But one son said, "No, not going to go. The other son said, Father, I'll go. At this point in the story, which one is faithful? Really? Huh? It looks like. At that point in the story, he is not faithful yet, is he? He said he'd go, but he hasn't gone. He hasn't done. So he's not trustworthy, right? And Jesus goes on and explains the story a little more. The one that said, Father, I'm not going, he actually stops and thinks, whoa, wait a minute. What did I just say? And he turns around and goes and does. The one that said so quickly, I'll do what you want me to do, he doesn't do it. So which one is actually faithful? The one that said he wouldn't do it, right? He actually takes responsibility and does what he's been given. We don't have time to go into all of this, but one of the things the scriptures teach us very clearly is this whole distinction of being led by the flesh and led by the spirit. And that is what faithfulness is all about. You see, God has entrusted us with His Spirit. For what? For what? What's the number one job of Holy Spirit? To guide us. He's entrusted Holy Spirit to guide us, and we're led of the flesh. We're just doing what we want to do. Holy Spirit's over here. He's trying to tell us what we need to do. We're not listening. We said, Father, I'll go. But when he starts telling us what to do, we say, no, I'm not doing that. This is what I got in mind. Bless it, Father. Bless it. Now, how do we live out of faithfulness? There's some scriptures that tell us some things that God is trusting to us. One of the things that He trusts to us is His love. We love Him because He first loved us. And so He comes to His people and He says, here is my commandment. Here. I'm giving you what I want you to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty big trust, isn't it? How you doing with it? You letting God lead you by His Spirit? Show you how to love, loving as He wants, as He's trusted you to do. And wow, you read this book, you find a lot of stories about how that actually works and how that actually leads people to come to faith. Terrorists, people that are hating God and hating His people are led to come to faith in God when they take what they've been given and steward it well. I'll just say this. I think we hear a lot of people talk about how our world, our Western world, is so hard to the gospel. I think the answer's right here. I think the answer's right here. It's just that we got a list over here we're checking off, and this list over here doesn't quite matter. A second one in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, that God has entrusted us with. God has entrusted us as His people with the unity of the Spirit. The unity of Holy Spirit. And He tells us, Paul tells us that we are to guard that with all that we have. Keeping there means guarding. You've been entrusted. It's not something we have to make happen. It's something that we have been entrusted with. We are stewards that have been given something, and we are required to be faithful. I could go on for a while there, but I'm not going to. Did I skip one? No, this one. Okay. Paul talks a lot about this truth that he was trusted with the gospel. Trusted with the gospel. Trusted with the good news. Why did God trust Paul with the good news? Okay, part of it was because he knew Paul would be trustworthy. What's another reason why he trusted him with the good news? He knew he'd be faithful. You and I would not be here today if God had not trusted Paul with the good news of the gospel. Why did God trust him with the good news of the gospel? To take it to the Gentiles. That's why we're here today. Paul was faithful. He did what God gave him to do. So God trusted him with the gospel, the good news, to take to the Gentiles, and Paul went to the Gentiles. And we benefit today by a man 2,000 years ago that was faithful, that was trustworthy with what God gave him to do. Now, question that comes out of that. If the world stands for 2,000 years, will there be any person or group of people that will have come to the gospel because we've been faithful to the gospel? Did you hear me? To the gospel. That's what Paul was focused on. And so Paul tells Timothy, he's instructing Timothy, he's bringing him up, and he says, Timothy, you keep what you've been trusted with, the gospel. You keep that. It's been committed to you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, the gospel has been committed to us. What are we doing with it? And he tells Timothy as well, the good thing that was committed to you, you keep it, you guard it, you protect it, you steward it well, steward it properly. Then John comes along and he says, you know what? You've been trusted with the truth. You've been trusted with a lot of things from God. Stay away from idols. Yeah, well, that's not a problem here. Okay, I'll let it at that. Now, one more verse there, Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You've been gifted the love of God. Keep yourselves in it. Steward it. Well, and again, we could ask the question, how well are we loving? Now, the Bible does not name a lot of people as faithful. It names some. David is named as faithful. When Saul tried to kill him on several occasions, they came to Saul and they said, "Saul, stop and think what you're doing. Who has been more faithful to you than David? He has put his life on the line over and over and over. He's faithful. You can trust him. He's here." And Saul says, "Oh, yeah, you're right." And he brings him back for a time. David was one who was trustworthy in the house of Saul, even someone who was trying to kill him. Daniel. This is amazing, because all the whole realm, the leaders of the kingdom, everybody that was in the top leadership had come together and tried to figure out a way to get rid of Daniel. You know what their conclusion is? Read it there. He's faithful. We can't find anything where he diminishes the kingdom, where he diminishes the king, where he exalts himself. We can't find any of that stuff in his life. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. And that's pretty significant. I don't know if you've thought about this, but it would be very tempting as a young lad who was taken as a slave to a foreign country, castrated, and put into the king's service. It would be very tempting to sabotage the kingdom when you're given opportunity. You know what Daniel tells the king? You go read this. This is amazing. Daniel tells the king, when he was thrown into the lion's den, he says, "King, I have never done anything against you," putting in my own words. "I have only sought the good of the kingdom." Whoa. A faithful man who can find. And faithfulness often is really tested when we get where Irvin was talking about, in those pressure areas. That heavy pressure starts to test faithfulness. We have Lydia. We have Timothy. We have Tychicus. We have Epaphras. We have Onesimus. And we have Paul. All of these people that the scripture very clearly said. How many of these people do you know? I mean, are you acquainted with from the scriptures? A couple of them, right? Tychicus? Who dat? Epaphras? Are you kidding me? Onesimus? Who are these guys? They are people that God names through the Apostle Paul, some of them. But God names these people as faithful. Does that mean there are no more? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, God's looking at the list, and he doesn't come up with near as many as the ones that are looking at their own list. Because I'm guessing there was a whole lot of people had their lists there, and they had marked things off, and they were faithful. But God didn't say that. Abraham. He's named as faithful. Did Abraham do everything right? No. He messed up some stuff, but God says Abraham is faithful. We're blessed. Galatians, Paul picks it up and he says, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed because Abraham stewarded what God had given him well. And we're blessed because of it. Moses, And this is interesting because he's taken Christ and Moses, and he says Moses was faithful in all his house like a servant. So he's acting as a servant. You give this servant responsibility, you expect the servant to carry it out. Moses did that. But here comes Christ. He's faithful in all his house as a son over his own house. And you and I enter into that as well, into the whole area of sonship. I want to close with this one. Anippus. In Revelation, we're told, Anippus, my faithful martyr. My faithful martyr. He loved not his life unto the death. And there's Martyr's Mirror, full of people, and that's only a scratch on the surface, full of people who counted their life of less importance than the trust that they had been given by God. And they were ready to just lay down their lives. The ultimate declaration. We talk about this a lot, especially at funerals. But Jesus talks about this. Where the Lord, the Master, gave things to his servants to steward. Gave different ones, different amounts, different things. And they were responsible to care for them until the Master returned. The things that we've talked about today, we've been given by the Master, responsible to care for them until he returns. And he tells this, and he says, the Master comes back, and he says, what did you do with what I gave you? And he says, I took what you gave me, and I multiplied it. And the Master says, well done, good and faithful servant, trustworthy. I gave you this, and you brought me this. Well done. You're going to be ruler over many things. Why? Because I could trust you with a few things. I trusted you with a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Because you proved yourself trustworthy. So enter into the joy of your Lord. Into the blessing. Into what is a result of having been faithful. And then Revelation 2 verse 10. Fear none of those things which you're going to suffer. Don't be afraid. They'll cast you into prison. You'll face a lot of tribulation. You'll face death. Don't be afraid. Why? If you're faithful to death, I'll give you a crown of life. If you're faithful till death, you've been trusted, gifted, given. I say, Lord, it's yours. I'll care for it. And I'll lay down my life caring for what you've given me. I will be faithful. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father, we come to you today. You're a faithful God. You have been faithful. Always been faithful, always will be faithful. Your faithfulness reaches to the heavens. Great is your faithfulness, and we praise you, we worship you for that today, O Lord. And we're recognizing, O Father, that you have trusted a number of things. We didn't begin to look at all the list. But you've trusted a number of things to us as your children. As those who have been given your love, have been given your gospel, have been given your peace, have been given just so many things. And Father, I pray your Spirit put those things on our heart today, and that we, by your grace, by your power, by your character being formed in us, might be found faithful. We thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.